today's sugya over here. We're on near the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Makos, and we've been discussing different answers to understand Rabbi Akiva's position, why when a person commits an avera that is normally punishable with death or kares, we said there's a three-way machlokas in the Tanoim, whether the person gets lashed as well, besides the other punishments that come his way. Although there may be kares, there may be a death penalty, does he get lashed as well? Because it's a negative, it's a law that was transgressed. Rabbi Shmuel says, you get lashed and you get kares, you get lashed and you get a death penalty. Rabbi Akiva says, you get only lashed in a case where you get kares, but you don't get lashed in a case with death penalty. And Rabbi Yitzchak says you don't get lashed for anything. So we wanted to understand Rabbi Akiva. Well, Rabbi Shmuel makes a lot of sense. It's a negative transgression. So negative. And remember, in the beginning, we thought when the person was warned that if you do this, you will get killed, and about getting lashed, the question is, can you give them both punishments or not? So Rabbi Shmuel says, of course, it's a negative transgression. You get lashed for every negative transgression, regardless if there's kares or there's a death penalty. Rabbi Akiva said, no, you can't give by death penalty because there's a problem with getting two punishments. And then we had questions on that, and we said, well, the shot is that Beis Din can't administer two punishments, although a person maybe can't theoretically could get it. So when it comes to a death penalty, Beis Din cannot give two penalties, lashes and a death penalty, while Kares the Beis Din doesn't give it, so they can give him the lashes. That was the first answer we had. Yesterday we explored a new answer from Rava and says, no, we're not talking about, everybody agrees that if you warn him that he's going to get the death penalty, he cannot get lashed. But we're speaking, the Bryce is speaking in a case where he was not warned about the death penalty. Even though it comes with a death penalty, for whatever reason, the witnesses did not warn him about it. They only said he's going to get lashed. Question is, can you lash him in these situations? And that boiled down to a machlokas we said yesterday, is when the Torah writes, thou shalt not. Generally, when the Torah says, thou shalt not, let's say, eat treif. Doesn't tell you the punishment, but we know the punishment whenever it says, thou shalt not, is lashes. We learned that from a separate pasuk. Whenever the Torah says, thou shalt not, and you don't know anything else, it's lashes. You don't have to say anything else. However, what do you do when the Torah says, thou shalt not do a capital crime? And then it tells you later, the punishment of the capital crime is death. Ah, what does that mean? So what's the thou shalt not saying? So Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't care, the thou shalt and saying thou shalt not, you're going to get lashed for any other thou shalt not, in spite of the fact that that thou shalt not is also saying you're going to get killed, you're also going to get lashed, says Rabbi Shmuel holds. Rabbi Akiva says, no, once the Torah tells you a punishment other than lashes that gets attached to a thou shalt not, then the only punishment for the thou shalt not is death and not lashes. Mm-hmm. That's why he says when there's a lav that carries a death penalty, and even if he was not warned about the death penalty, mm-hmm. and he will not get the death penalty, and you're telling him not to do it, still you cannot give lashes for it, because that thou shalt not is only in terms of a death penalty, and that means that's the only punishment it gets. To that, Rabbi Shmuel is going to argue and say, no, if once it says thou shalt not, if we can't give the death penalty, then we're going to give him the lashes. Rabbi Akiva says, no. On the other hand, by kares, it's a different story. Kares, God gives the kares. And also, we said, the Gemara asked, why should you do it by kares? The law is for kares, to which we answered that, you don't need that. Because we said chayve krisis don't need the Torah to say thou shalt not. That's how we ended off. To get kares, you don't need the Torah to say thou shalt not. Once the Torah says you get kares. Remember we said usually there has to be one pasuk that gives the warning thou shalt not. Another pasuk says the punishment. That's true everywhere in the Torah except when it comes to kares. When it comes to kares, if the Torah says kares, no need for a thou shalt not. And the proof was Pesach and Mila. Pesach and Mila, where there is no thou shalt not. And if you don't bring a korban Pesach, you get kares. So we see you get kares without a thou shalt not. So what about all the other thou shalt nots? Well, it's telling you thou shalt not, but it doesn't matter. It's not you get kares without the thou shalt not. So then what's the thou shalt not doing? Well, you're going to get lashed. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. When it goes with a death penalty has to have the Torah's warning of thou shalt not. So Rabbi Akiva says the thou shalt not is only speaking about death penalty. But Kores, that does not need a thou shalt not to give Kores. So Rabbi Akiva says the thou shalt not will tell us you get lashed in cases of Kores. That's how we understand that. So that's how we ended off, and therefore very good. Rabbi Akiva is saying, when the Torah says thou shalt not by a death penalty, that's the only thing that thou shalt not is telling you. If Torah is warning you not to do it, warning you at only in regards to getting a death penalty, and if though we don't give him a death penalty, let's say we forgot to tell him that, we cannot lash him for it, because that lav is not coming for lashes. It's only for a death penalty. On the other hand, the punishment is kares, which does not need the Torah's warning of thou shalt not, and therefore the thou shalt not can come to give you lashes. And the proof is from Pesach and Milah, where there's no thou shalt not, and yet we give kares. That's going to be the final answer. However, the Gemara's got a question on this point, which the Gemara will answer, and will remain with this final answer. We will remain with this final answer. That according to Rava, only according to Rava, there's no argument if he indeed is going to get killed, that he will never get lashed. Everybody agrees to that. Only question is if he's not getting killed, because they didn't warn him for that, can we lash him? Rabbi Shmuel says, yes, a lav that said even for Misa can get lashed. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Kares is different, because you don't need a warning for that. The proof being, the Torah doesn't give a warning by Pesach and Milah, and yet we give lashes. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe that's going to be a little bit different. Maybe the lav is for something else. We said the lav isn't for kares, so it's giving for lashes. Now the Gemara is going to ask, maybe whenever it says thou shalt not, is to tell that you got to bring a korban chatas when you do it b'shogeg. Otherwise, why would you bring a korban chatas? And that's what Gemara is going to say. Maybe the thou shalt not, yes, it's not coming to warn you about kares, but maybe it's coming to warn you, you have to bring a korban if you do unintentionally that aveira. How do you know you got to bring a korban? How do you do anything wrong that I have to bring a korban? Maybe the law is telling me about the korban, and it's not for lashes, and they're going to want to prove that from Pesach and Milah as well. That's going to be the question now. Vidilma ashara l'korban. Maybe when the Torah said, thou shalt not, in a case of a korban, a kares issue, is to oblige the person to bring a korban chatas, as we're going to prove it in a minute. Look at the rule here. A person brings a chatas offering for unintentionally transgressing any kares-bearing prohibition. If you know you're not supposed to do it and you're warned, we're going to give you whatever, you're going to get kares. But if the guy didn't know, I didn't know it wasn't allowed. Okay, so you get scot-free. No, you have to bring a korban chatas. Right? That's the rule. So the Gemara therefore says that maybe the warning, thou shalt not, maybe we need it to establish you have a liability to bring a korban chatas. I don't need a warning to say you get kares. One source says you get kares, I don't need any warning. But I don't have to bring a korban chatas if I do it unintentionally. So you're suggesting because it says thou shalt not. So the thou shalt not is coming to tell you you bring a korban chatas. And it's not coming to tell you that you get lashed. And he's going to prove that as well. The Pesach Umila, look, Pesach Umila, they don't have the thou shalt not. And what happens if you didn't know you're not supposed to bring a korban Pesach, you're not supposed to bring a Umila? The Leis Behomais, sorry, there is no thou shalt not by Pesach Umila. And guess what? What happens if you unintentionally did not bring a korban Pesach and you did not get Umila? Lo, Maisina Korban. You don't bring a korban chatas if you didn't know. So that must prove the fact that the law has come to tell you that it's to get, you have to bring a korban chatas if you did it for shogeg, as the commentary explains. These two commandments are unique among kares-bearing precepts in that they neither have a scriptural warning nor are subject to a chatas if you didn't know. Must be because it didn't have the love, didn't have the warning. And if it had the warning, it would have it. So must be the warning is coming to say what? You bring a korban chatas if you did it unintentionally, and therefore that would not mean to say you get lashed for it. So that would seem to be a pretty strong question on Rabbi Akiva's distinction of why we lash by korban Pesach. So Gomorrah says an answer to that. Nope, not a problem. Hasam, over there by Pesach, you know why we don't bring the Korban Chatas? Because there's another rule about Korban Chatas. You can only bring a Korban Chatas to things that are similar to the, the prima example of Korban Chatas. And the prime example of a Korban Chatas carries a lav. And since they don't carry a lav, it's excluded from that rule. But we can come back to our original rule, as shall be explained. The reason they don't bring a Korban Chatas, Elamishum, because all Korban Chatas situations, the itkash kol ha-Torah kula lavodas kochavim. The Torah had to make a binyan av. How do we know that you bring a Korban Chatas in general for all negative averas that you didn't know about? Because the Torah compares all Korban Chatas, all shogegs, to a shogeg by idolatry. There is also shogeg by idolatry. What if you didn't know you're not allowed to do that? You didn't know that's a form of idolatry, and you did it. You're bringing Korban Chatas. Well, let's see what it says. In that issue, when it says you unintentionally worshipped idols, it says you bring a Korban Chatas. It says these words, Torah achas yielachem la'osa bishkaga. There should be a single law for you for committing unintentional transgressions. Why is the Torah telling us that? It wants to make something similar to this Korban Chatas of idol worship. This verse draws an analogy between the Chatas liability for unintentional idolatry and the Chatas liability for the unintentional commissions of other Kores-bearing sins. Thus, a Kores-bearing sin must be comparable to the sin of idolatry in order to be subject to a Chatas. So what would it have to be to make it similar? Well, very simple. Ma avodas kochavim. This is where the similarity has to be. Just like by idol worship. How does it work? It works by sheval tase. What's the Torah tell you about idol worship? It tells you sit and don't act. It's all, in other words, it's a standard lav. Thou shalt not. What does thou shalt not mean? It means sit where you are and don't do anything. That's basically what it's saying. What you have positive mitzvahs, actively do this. Negative says sit and don't do. Well, what's the prohibition of idol worship? It's sit and don't do. The guy says, worship idols. No, I'm not going to do it. So that becomes the paradigm for all other situations that will bring. And what do you know? If the guy didn't know it was prohibited, he brings a Korban Chatas. So we're going to learn everywhere else. If you didn't know you bring a Korban Chatas, is when the format is thou shalt not, and you shall not do that. So therefore, af kol shev v'al tase. So any other time where the guy doesn't know, the only time he brings a Korban Chatas is when the Torah said, don't do that. And since you don't do that, if it's a, and you did do it and you didn't know you weren't supposed to not do it, then you bring a Korban Chatas. So that becomes the rule. By idol worship, it says if a guy worshipped idols unintentionally, he brings a Korban Chatas. And so it should be the whole Torah like that. So what is that telling me? The whole Torah, for any time where there is a Kores punishment, that's the only time you bring a Korban Chatas. You don't bring a Korban Chatas if intentionally you get a lower sin. It has to be at least Kores. If it comes with a Kores intentional, when it's unintentional, you bring a Korban Chatas. So all the others have to be just like it, that the Torah warns you not to do it. Don't do it. And then if you didn't realize it was usher, you bring Korban Chatas. So what about Korban Pesach and what about Mila? Does the Torah say you shall not do that? No, those are positive mitzvahs. So that's why it's excluded from bringing a Korban Chatas. Not because it doesn't have a lav per se, but because it doesn't fit the rule. And therefore, la fuke hani dekum ase, which excludes those that are positive mitzvahs, where the Torah gives you kares. And therefore, chatas liability applies only to sins that are committed by an act. And when you do the act, and that's when you transgress, that's when you bring the Korban Chatas. It doesn't apply to failure to do something. So therefore, the Gemara concludes, hence, the fact there's no chatas liability for unintentionally failing to bring the Pesach offering, perform circumcision, has something to do with the lack of a warning in these cases. That's not the issue. Rather, the reason one does not bring a chatas for these sins is that they differ from the prototype of idolatry insofar as these crimes of omission rather than commission. Accordingly, in the case of all other sins liable to Kores, which as crimes of commission are analogous to idolatry, even if no asar had been stated, they would still carry chatas liability. So that's why. And therefore, what will the lav be In other cases where there should be kares, where you don't need to be warned with the lav, it's to give you lashes, as he answered there. Okay, very good. So we don't have to. Okay, it has thus been shown that an azhara, a warning in the Torah, is not required to impose chatas liability. It's not. Furthermore, as stated early Gemara, an azhara is not required for the kares penalty itself. So must therefore serve to establish a penalty for kares. For this reason, Rabbi Kiva holds that kares bearing prohibitions are punishable by malchus, unlike capital crimes, whose azhara is not to impose the death penalty. So according to Rava, the answer is, as we said before, Rava says the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is not in a case where the guy actually gets the death penalty. If he actually gets the death penalty, everybody would agree you're not going to give him lashes. They're arguing when he doesn't get the death penalty, for whatever reason. Do we say that the thou shalt not can exclusively only be used to give a death penalty and not for lashes, like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it could also be given for that, and that's how he learns the machlokas. Now, the next part of the Gemara is not really hard at all. You just have to remember what direction you're going. The next couple lines is not a problem at all. Remember, how did we start off this entire discussion? We're trying to understand Rabbi Akiva's position. We understand Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, we lash all the time. Finished. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we don't lash all the time. And we're trying to understand Rabbi Akiva's position. Now, when we started the whole discussion, we said we're speaking a case where the guy gets killed. Does he also get lashed? That was the first way we were learning. Right? Rabbi Akiva says, no. If he's getting killed, he's not getting lashed. The guy can't get two punishments. Right? So then, but by kares, that's not so. Rabbi Shmuel says, we could give him two punishments. Fine, because you have to give him for everything. We had all kinds of questions trying to answer Rabbi Akiva. If you remember right away in the beginning of the Gemara, when it says the guy can't get two punishments, well, if he can't get two punishments, then how come by kares is getting two punishments? That was the original question we asked. What if he'll do tshuva? But until he does do tshuva, he's still getting two punishments. To which we had to go and drop back to a different answer. It's not a question of him getting two punishments. Can the Beis Din give two punishments? So by death penalty, the Beis Din can't give two punishments. By kares, the Beis Din doesn't give the kares. So that was one answer we gave. Now we've come along and we have this whole other answer that Rava just said. Well, we're not talking about that kind of case. Speaking of the case where we don't give him the death penalty. That was a second answer. Now the Gemara is going back way to the beginning, the very first question, to knock off the first answer. The Gemara is going to want to answer that first answer. Mm-hmm. Going back to the very beginning, where the argument was, do we going to give him both punishments or not? Where he is going to get killed, does he get the lashes too? We're going back to that very first beginning. And that very first answer, I think it was Ravina, I'm not sure. The very first answer, where he said, well, the guy, Rabbi Kiva says he can't get two punishments. And we asked, well, how come Kares is getting two punishments? And then, and the fact that he could do tshuva, but he didn't do tshuva. So how do you understand that? So we went to other answers. Now we're going back to that original question. We're going to answer that question. Ravina says, no, you don't have to say this answer. But Leola, we could always go back to how I originally said at the beginning of this discussion last week. Kiramrina me'ikara. Like originally I said, as was said originally, what? That Rabbi Akiva does not impose malchus for death-bearing sins because that would violate the single penalty rule. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Akiva, however, does impose malchus in the case of a kares offense, to which you had a question. You said, but I don't understand. Until he does tshuva, he could get two punishments. So he says, I don't hold to that question. That's all. Because he's saying, she must have tshuva, because the truth of it is, let's look at the end game. Can the guy do tshuva?
Yes.
Yes. What if he does do tshuva? What's going to happen? Kares is gone. And at that point, Beis Din shel mala malichlin lahem. And we said that the heavens above forgive him. Right? To which you didn't like that answer. You said, well, until he does do tshuva, he still has two punishments. That was the question he asked. So, and you said, my Amr, what did you retort? What was your, just repeating, what did you didn't like about this answer? I holo of a tshuva. But he didn't yet do tshuva yet. That was the question they asked. And since they're still subject to kares, they shouldn't get lashes. So he says, that's not going to be a good question. In other words, we could have answered this question right away. And now you could have a question. Why didn't the Gemara answer right away? Why does it wait till we gave you a different answer and then a whole different way of understanding things? And now we're going all the way back to the beginning. When you could have answered that at the beginning, that's a good question that you have to sit in yeshiva for many years to try to understand that answer. But he goes back, and basically all these, I'm just saying it's not hard, he's just out of place. We had an answer with a question. Then we gave another answer. Then we went a whole different way to give a whole other answer. And now we're going back to that original question and answering that question. That's the only thing that's making it a little bit challenging. So that fact, he said, well, till he did do tshuva, he still says kares. He says, that's not a question because lo psika milsula kares. Kares is not definite since it can be avoided by tshuva. And therefore, the single penalty rule only says when there's two definite penalties. That's his answer. In other words, the Gemara asks, well, he's still having two penalties. The rule of the two penalty rule that you can't give it, if it's for sure going to happen, let's say death and lashes, he's for sure going to get killed. There's no way out. Once you're convicted, you're getting it. You can do tshuva all day long, you're going to get killed. So the two penalty rule is when it's definite, there's no way out of it. That's when you say you can't give so Rabbi Akiva says you cannot give death and lashes because those are two definitely happening. Kares and lashes, kares is never a definite because he could always do tshuva. Till he does tshuva, isn't he getting? No, that we don't say the rule that it's only if it's definite. So even if he'll never do tshuva, he'll get kares and we can lash him because it's not two definite punishments. And that's the answer. So it comes out at the end of the day, just to summarize. We have a three-way machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel says, now we're going to have version one and version two. Okay, we're going to first say version one. Version one is the Bryce is speaking where the person is getting killed. Can we also lash him as well? Rabbi Shmuel says, yes. Why? Torah says, thou shalt not applies all the time. Finished. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we got a problem with the two penalty rule. And therefore, we can't give it to him by death. If he's going to get killed, we don't lash him. But you can't give him by kares. To which we ask, wait a minute, won't it also be a two penalty rule? So now we have the answer. It's only by two definite penalties. And this is not definite. Gemara gave another answer. Only two penalty rule when Bezdin administers the two penalties, not when Hashem ministers one and Bezdin. That's two answers to explain Rabbi Akiva. If you say the Bachlokas is, do we lash him even though we're going to kill him? Then we had Rava's answer say, no, the whole Bryce is only speaking where he's not getting killed. Everybody would agree if he's getting killed, we don't give him two punishments. The only machlok is if we don't kill him, do we apply the law for death to lash him or not? Rabbi Shmuel says, yes. Rabbi Akiva says, no. And that's the three ways to understand that machlokas.
So what would they do, let's say at the time of Rabbi Akiva, while they're having this machlokas going on, and the case comes up, and they haven't even, they're busy arguing back and forth about what to do about it, and there's a case, and
would have to go to the Sanhedrin and how they would rule.
Yeah.
It would actually be how they would rule. How would Sanhedrin rule? This is all in theory. Remember, everything you more is in theory. But then, so what do? Okay, you have 71 rabbis in the Sanhedrin. What do they hold?
Okay.
And that would be the question they'd ask the Sanhedrin, even if nobody came. Because what are we going to do in that case? That would be a classic example of what would happen. Okay, so far we've explained very nicely Rabbi Yishmael's position. Yeah. So far we've explained very nicely Rabbi Akiva's position. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, nobody's getting lashed at all. No lashes in either case. That was the third position. Let's just refresh our memories. What was his source? If you recall, when the Torah told us about the prohibited relationships, and they all, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. At the end it says, and for all of them you get kares. Right then, for all of them you get kares. But then in one of them, by the sister, it says you get kares. So of course, why do you got to say you get kares? It says at the end, they all get kares. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, since the Torah goes out of its way to say that and it's not necessary, it's teaching us a rule that what? That you only can get kares for these punishments and not lashed. Remember? Again, these are all chorus-bearing averse. All these forbidden relations. Thou shalt not sleep with this. Thou shalt not. At the end, anyone who does them gets chorus. So I don't have to say individually that any individual one gets chorus, since the last one tells me they all get chorus. Right. But it just so happens, by the brother and the sister, it says chorus. So what are you going to say it for? It says it at the end anyway for all of them. Yeah. Must be its action, must be come to teach us something. So he's saying, comes to teach us that in just like in this case with the sister, when you, if they're doing it, and you're going to warn them, and you're going to want them to get lashed for the warning, you don't get lashed because you only get chorus. Why did it repeat chorus? To say chorus is the only punishment you get for this. And it's not, and it's therefore not just teaching you this, it's teaching you all chorus punishment. This becomes the model for other ones. Why do you got to tell me you give her chorus? We know you get chorus. The answer is, it's emphasizing the only punishment you ever can get for this is chorus. What about lashes? No, not lashes. Not like Rabbi Akiva, okay? And not like Rabbi Yishmael. And this one's coming to teach you for all the other cases where there is kares. When there is kares, you do not lash, okay? So very good. So that, now the problem is, but both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva say, you do get lashed for it. Yeah. So now we're going to have we're beginning now a new discussion. What are they going to do with his source? They got to deal with his source. He seems to have a good, there's an extra kares by his sister. An extra kares seems to be a very nice proof. So now the Gemara is going to call Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael are now going to be called the Rabbanon. Because it's two against one. Mm-hmm. So Gemara is going to now open up the word. And now we're going to just repeat. What we're going to do nothing more. It's just repeat what I said and ask the question. Okay, now we're on the third section. So when you see, we've been going through three sections. We want to understand Rabbi Shmuel's position. We brought that pasuk, all lavs get lashed. There was a whole discussion on that. Then we want to understand Rabbi Akiva's position. There was a whole discussion on that. Now for the next Amud, is going to be a whole discussion on Rabbi Yitzchak's position and why the other two rabbis don't subscribe to his position. It's going to be one of these Gemaras where, well, we don't learn this from this, but we learn something else. They say, well, how does the rabbi learn the other thing? Well, he used from that. So how do you learn this? And it's going to go down about 7-8 cases where the rabbis learn certain things from one thing and Rabbi Yitzchak learns certain things from other thing. And that's how this is going to play out for the balance of today and tomorrow and probably the next day as well. Let's just get us going over here. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, just a repetition of the Braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Chai ve'krisos bechlal hoyu. Kares penalties were included in the general statement after forbidden relations. Whoever commits any of these abominations will incur kares. That's going on all the ones that are on the list. So therefore, v'lama yotzes kares b'chosa. Why did it say again kares by your sister? It says Rabbi Yitzchak, laduna b'kares, to say you get kares, v'lo malchus, and not malchus. And this will teach us for all kares averos, that you only get kares and you don't get malchus. That's repeated. To which the Gemara now says, so that's a really good point. So for Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, who's the Rabbanan? That's Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, who both say that you do get lashed in a kares punishment. So now the question is, kares b'chol salamali, what are you going to do with the extra kares mentioned by sister? What are you going to do with that? You're going to have to, either you're going to concede the point to him and lose, or you're going to say, no, I use that for a different drasha. You have to make some kind of drasha. Because there's no need to say kares by his sister when you know it's kares already. His answer, his drasha seems to make sense. You only get kares, you don't get anything else, no lashes. What are you going to do with that? So they're going to answer, you know what it's there for? Lechalek, to split it up. Which means to say, what if a person doesn't know, you know, that I didn't know you can't sleep with my sister, I didn't know I can't sleep with my mother. He didn't know, like, 15 arayos. He just didn't know. Okay? So now. He didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So, or better yet, or let's say, so now, how many kormachatas does he bring?
Each one
separate. Well, now it's a question. I'm not sure. How many should he bring or not? There's a similar discussion regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Remember when the Torah says, thou shalt not burn any fire?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Torah says, why do you got to spell it out? Well, you know you can't do any work on Shabbos. Yeah. Why do you got to spingle out fire if it says you can't do any work on Shabbos? Sometimes you can't do anything. So there's a similar machlokas. One rabbi says it comes to say you get bring a korban chatas for each one of the 39 separate prohibited activities, right? Where others say no, that you only get a laugh. You don't get killed for burning. You only get a negative. You don't get killed for burning. That was the machlokas. It's a similar to over here. They're saying the extra kares over here is coming to tell you that each and every one is considered a kares bearing offense, and therefore if you unintentionally did it, each and every one requires you to bring a korban chatas. Since the Torah makes one general statement assigning the Korban's punishment for all foreign unions, right? It lists the whole list. It doesn't say any punishment yet. Then it says, you know, for all these you get kares. So what might have thought? Well, then it becomes like one solid chunk. One thing. So one might have thought that all these unions are subcategories of one all-inclusive precept as regards kares and Karis and Chadis. Like it's one big super commandment, don't be immoral. Don't have incestuous relationships. And therefore, what happens if you do one sin unknowingly five times in one time of unknowing? You don't know that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. I just don't know. I didn't know. I was Mechal Shabbos this week, I was Mechal Shabbos next week, the following week. How many times? You only bring one. Right? So we might think, well, it's all like one big Aveira that I didn't know. So I might have thought you only bring one korban chatas. If so, a person who unintentionally violated several of those prohibitions in one lapse of awareness will be liable to bring only one chatas offering. I might have thought that. Why would I have thought that? Oh, even though it's 15 separate thou shalt nots, but it has one inclusive kares for the whole bunch. So I would figure maybe I only bring one korban chatas for the whole bunch. To reject this notion, the Torah reiterates the kares penalty in the case of cohabitation with one sister to show that it's an independent prohibition subject to a separate chatas. This would mean that if a person cohabited with his sister as well as other foreign relatives unaware of the prohibited status, he would have to bring an additional chatas on account of the sister. In light of the exegetical rule cited before, this independent status is then executed to all the forbidden unions, attaching chatas liability to each one separately. Thus, one who covets with several relatives must bring several multiple chatas. So it's coming to tell you that, and not that you only get kares and you don't get lashed. You hear? Rabbi Yehuda says that extra sister and kares is saying you only get kares, you never get lashed. They're saying no, it's coming to tell you that if you did it many times in a state of unawareness, you bring a separate, because since it says kares, it singles it out. Each one's a separate avera, it's not one inclusive of all of them, and there we bring a korban chatas for each one, as Rabbi Yochanan says. He already says, Shim Asan Kum Behalachi, do them all with one state of unawareness. Chayev al kol achas va'achas. You have to give a korban chatas on each one. And that's the law, and everybody agrees to it. So if everybody agrees to it, the Gemara's going to turn around tomorrow and say, so how does Rabbi Yitzchak know that? Because he's used it for something else. And that's how we're going to start the ring around the rosy.